Welcome to the 17th episode of Celluloid Tunes and the 5th international edition. Celluloid Tunes is the first and only webcast about film music in Norway, and my name is Tor Joachim Haga. Now, this is another composer special, and this time we're exploring the work of Mr. Elliot Goldenthal. Now, we've played some of his music in previous episodes, but I thought it was about time that he got his own show, especially because he's one of my favorite composers. Yes, I even had the opportunity to interview him on two separate occasions, the first in Ghent in Belgium in 2010, and then again in Krakow in Poland in 2012. Now, these interviews were done for the Norwegian film site Montage, where you can find the full-length sessions, but I will play some excerpts from these interviews throughout the episode. Also, the timing of this show is quite appropriate, because there are several things happening in the world of Goldenthal right now. There's a new symphony in G minor that premiered just a few days ago. There's a new album out with some of his chamber work, another album with a symphonic adaptation of his Otello ballet, and he has a new website up and running, and there are actually a few things in the film world as well, which we will return to at the end of the program. First of all, I must say that I'm very relieved to see this sort of surge in activity, because just a few years ago he had us all worried, especially after a domestic accident which affected his speech. And this is how he explained this accident himself.
The hard drive was unaffected, but I had to build new software. So new canals... to get from the hard drive to my mouth.
To connections, yeah.
But nothing was damaged in terms of intelligence or hopefully talent. It actually helped me, my music, because it limited my ability to elaborate too much. Made me more disciplined in terms of how to what to write. On a negative situation, I don't tell a joke as well as I used to.
So while we're relieved to hear that he's back on track, let's look back at his film work in more detail. And I've done what I usually do, that is to pick out some of my own personal favorites. Now, Elliot Goldenthal is a New York-based composer who's had a long career not only in film music, but in concert music, stage music, and other venues. He was actually a student of some other famous composers, namely John Corigliano and Aaron Copland. And he is widely considered one of the most idiosyncratic composers working today, often using a more modern tonal language than many of his colleagues, at least in Hollywood. He's actually had several film music careers, but the most prominent and most recent one started in 1989, with films such as Pet Sematary and Drugstore Cowboy. And I would like to start off this program with one of these early works, and that is a film from 1993 called Golden Gate. It's a sort of film noir type story set to San Francisco in the 1950s, starring Matt Dillon and Joan Chen, in a story about love and communist persecution. It's actually quite stylish, even though it has some narrative shortcomings. Goldenthal's music for this film tries to sort of paint the cityscape through some very sort of ambient textures and of course this seething romance, especially through the use of saxophone, and also some oriental features to connote Chinatown and Chen's character. And he does all of this without resorting to clichés, which is quite amazing in my opinion. It's just a gorgeous score that is far better than the film that it accompanies. So let's listen to the track The Woman Cries from Golden Gate from 1993. That was a track from Golden Gate from 1993. Now, the next film is actually from the same year, but it's far more famous. In fact, it may still be Goldenthal's most famous film score, and we've also played some of it in previous episodes, as you might recall. And I'm obviously talking about Alien 3, David Fincher's third film in the Alien saga. I think it's a rather underrated film, actually, with this sort of bleak and brownish and gritty atmosphere, which was a definite departure from some of the previous films, or from the previous two films. And in this film, Goldenthal employs a sort of harsh, modernistic style that almost borders on what's known as musique concrète, you know, a sort of sound collage thing at times. In fact, let's hear what the composer himself had to say about this particular style and the film in question.
Well, musique concrète has a organic reason for being born. It's not taken from libraries. It's not secondhand sound. Somehow, it's comes out of a musical need, like a Gebrauch music. The horror and the beautiful was something that we were after in Alien 3, and the idea of isolation,
yeah,
and resurrection. The men were in a prison. They vowed chastity, and all of a sudden, one woman shows up, and their whole structure of philosophy and morals was shaken,
yeah.
and as well as the specter of death by the alien. But that wasn't as important as their whole structural social gestalt that was interrupted by appearance of a woman.
Now, to illustrate some of what he was talking about in this clip, let's play the cue Wreckage and Rape from Alien 3. It's a cue that starts off rather misterioso, but then sort of ends up as a rock-infused assault towards the end, as the prisoners attempt to rape our heroine. The next film I've chosen is another popular entry on Goldenthal's resume. It's Batman Forever from 1995. It was a film that actually did pretty well at the box office, but that departed quite a bit from Tim Burton's first two films. I mean, it was still large and gothic and all that, but the new director, Joel Schumacher, added a more considerably more campy tone to the story. And as such, the music is also all over the place, you know, from the large and Wagnerian scope to these sort of acids, big band jazz numbers, which is quite interesting. Now, we also scored the fourth film, Batman and Robin, which was somewhat of a box office disaster, remembered perhaps mostly for Arnold Schwarzenegger's Mr. Freeze, maybe. And Goldenthal, he had actually planned to release an album with his music for this film, but it never happened for some reason.
Oh, there was something that you said in another interview that I heard about the infamous Batman and Robin project, where you prepared, as I understood it, a 50-minute program to be released, but that never happened because of various issues.
That was very sad because the movie was very, it wasn't a very good movie. It had disastrous problems, as opposed to the movie that Joel Schumacher made before that, which is Batman Forever. But talking about that, another label called La La Records,
La La Land Records, yeah.
Is putting out the score of my Batman Forever.
A new edition because it's
new
already.
edition of like 2 hours of music, and it's going to be wonderful. I worked on it too last week, remastering it, and at least you can hear the complete score.
The expanded Batman Forever album, which Goldenthal refers to, has since, of course, been released. But let's play two cues from the original album, somewhat humorously titled Chase Noir and Fledermaus Marsch Musik, two tracks that sort of exemplify the range of musical styles in the film.
Thank you.
let's tone down things a bit and talk about perhaps a slightly less famous but no less fascinating film and score. And I'm talking about Frida from 2002, which was directed by Julie Taymor, Elliot Goldenthal's lifelong partner and collaborator. And it's a story about the artist Frida Kahlo, who has to cope with both a serious injury as well as a temperamental husband, played by Alfred Molina. Now, this is a sort of territory occupied by Mexican folk music, perhaps, and channeled through Goldenthal's unique sound and chord structures. And this is what he had to say about the project.
It was less intellectual than it was sensual. If you are a person like Frida, who suffered a lot of pain physically because she was in a bus accident and broke a spine and pelvis, and she had to lay in bed for years, you know. And I was thinking, you don't want an orchestra laying in bed with you. No, it's easier to have something like a guitar, you know, just with you, next to you, playing beautiful melodies. And so it's a sensuality, and it's not intellectual. It's intellectual in the sense that it was a choice. But as a human being, you feel like it's a better choice to have something that you can take into bed with you. Also, guitar is a very, very romantic instrument, and it's also associated very much with the Mexican music, not only the standard guitar, but smaller guitars and a big guitar on. So it became a very practical way of scoring the movie.
Now, the score landed Goldenthal his first and to date only Academy Award. And to give you an idea about this sort of reliance on strings and guitars and accordion, let's play the cue Koyakan and Variations from Frida. Thank you. The next film I've chosen is another fan favorite, and it's a return to the more bold and muscular style of the composer. It's a film called Final Fantasy from 2001, which was an ambitious animated film based on the popular video game. Now, Goldenthal employs the full force of the orchestra and choir with giant interval leaps throughout, like the epic 9-minute track Toccata and Dreamscape. Now, that track is a bit long for this episode, but you'll get the idea in another track called Blue Light, which is a great example of the composer's ability to combine straightforward tonal music with these weird dissonant clusters for brass in particular. Now, I can't remember the exact scene from the movie, but there is obviously some sort of powerful blue light that warrants these musical exclamation marks in a way. That was the cue Blue Lights from Final Fantasy from 2001. Now, I'd like to return to the more restrained and ambient stylings of the composer. I sort of like this constant shift between the bold and the powerful and the more intimate and textural. So I've selected another less known title, namely a film called The Good Thief from 2002, directed by Neil Jordan, who is another frequent collaborator, and starring Nick Nolte and the Serbian director Emil Kusturica. It's a classic story about a drug-addicted thief wanting to do one last gig before he retires. It's actually a remake of Jean-Pierre Melville's classic film Bob le Flambeur from 1955, and it takes place in the south of France. Still, the music has a very sort of North African type sound, which is an element that he sometimes refers to. And we talked a bit about this in our interview, this sort of reliance on this ethnic or North African elements in his music. And this is what he had to say.
Yeah, I use a lot of sounds from Algeria and Morocco and North Africa in that movie, but, you know, it was only a reaction to the characters in the movie.
But I seem to notice this also in Heat, where you combine, where the source cues are combined with your own score in a kind of seamless blend of some sort. You know, Terje Rypdal from my own country, and the Kronos Quartet, and all the stuff, and your music.
Yes, especially that cue. Yeah. Yeah, that actually had a lot of feeling of a North African music to that as well.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but it just seemed to fit the scene very well. I think it was the feeling of the struggle that the bank robbers had. It was the same feeling that possibly. The Palestinians have for the Intifada or the Jihad feeling of we have to do this. It doesn't matter who's killed, what's happening. It's the most important thing is the goal, and I think that might have affected that score, but that was subconscious.
Yeah, probably.
Goldenthal also mentions Michael Mann's Heat in this discussion, which I'm sure most of you are familiar with. And while there are certain North African elements in that score, the main thing about it is this sort of industrial, urban soundscapes created by wailing electric guitars and sort of soft electronic textures. In my opinion, this is one of the best scores depicting the sort of beauty and the loneliness of urban landscapes, at least this side of Bernard Herrmann's Taxi Driver. So let's first listen to the cue Snake 5 from The Good Thief from 2002, followed by the track Condenses from Heat from 1995.
Thank you.
Returning to the science fiction genre for a moment, one of the most underrated sci-fi films of the 90s is, at least in my opinion, the 1998 film Sphere, directed by Barry Levinson and starring Dustin Hoffman, Samuel L. Jackson, and Sharon Stone, who all go on an expedition to the ocean floor to investigate a sort of mysterious sphere that's residing on the bottom. Now, the film has some fantastic atmosphere and mood, and it's actually quite complex in the way that it's told. And meanwhile, Golenthal provides this sort of glittering, watery textures, and also this big mythical scope of the mystery. You know, the one thing that sort of releases the claustrophobic tension of the film otherwise. So let's play the track Pandora's Fanfare, followed by The Gift from the film Sphere from 1998. In 1999, Julie Taymor took her 1994 stage adaptation of Shakespeare's Titus Andronicus to the big screen, and with Anthony Hopkins in the title role. In typical Taymor fashion, the film is extremely inventive visually and also a bit all over the place, tapping into many different styles and expressions. Which is a sort of commentary on how the Roman Empire continues to stretch out into contemporary times as well. And so Goldenthal's music responds to this by sort of tapping into everything from grand operatic scales to this crazy big band swing to contemporary polytonal jazz and so on. I remember seeing and hearing a selection from this score performed live in Ghent in 2010, and it just gave me the shivers. It was such a powerful experience. So I wanted to play one of those tracks now. It's the opening cue, Victorious Titus, with this huge choir celebrating the power of not only Titus, but the entire Roman Empire. Nearing the end of our Goldenthal special, but I wanted to play a cue from his latest film that got a soundtrack release, and that is Julie Taymor's film The Tempest from 2010, which is another Shakespeare adaptation, this time starring Helen Mirren as Prospera, which is a female version of Prospero from the original play. And again, it's a film that combines fantastic visuals with a more somber or dark tone, perhaps, while Goldenthal's music lies perhaps closer to rock, with the several fuzzy L guitars and even vocals for several tracks. So let's listen to the moody opening song, O Mistress Mine. Vocals performed by Reeve Carney.
mistress mine, where are you roaming? Oh, stay and dear, your true love's coming, that can sing both high and low. Trip no further, pretty sweeting, journeys and then lovers meeting. Every wise man's son doth know what is love, 'tis not hereafter, present mirth at present laughter. What's to come is still unsure. Youth's a star, will not endure, will not endure.
That was the song "O Mistress Mine" from The Tempest, the last Goldenthal score to receive a soundtrack album, and it's already been 4 years. Well, as I mentioned in the beginning, the accident and the desire perhaps to do more concert works have prevented him from doing that many films in the last 10 years. But there seems to be things happening now. In fact, when I talked to him in 2010, he mentioned an upcoming film musical called The Transposed Heads, and of course directed once again by Julie Taymor.
Transposed Heads, which is a Thomas Mann novella that he wrote in 1947. I just composed 10 songs. Is it going to be a musical, very strange musical. It's a beautiful story.
And you work with
a love triangle with mystical ramifications of one girl and one man with a perfect body and a lot of charisma, and another boy with a philosophical mind and a great thinker, and she goes back to India, and she's given the choice to switch the heads on the bodies. What's the result?
Burlesque.
After that, what happens? Yeah. It's a grotesque. It's grotesque. It's also really beautiful, erotic, and magical realism. And all those adjectives.
Mm-hmm. Now, it's been 4 years and the film has not materialized yet, but hopefully it will. And in addition to that, IMDb reports that Goldenthal is attached to the upcoming Michael Mann movie called Cyber. But I will take that with a grain of salt, since Elliot isn't that interested in action movies anymore, at least that's what he told me. So I guess we just have to wait and see for that particular project. But this was a selection of some Goldenthal favorites. There are still a lot of titles I would have loved to play, like Demolition Man, Interview with the Vampire, Michael Collins, SWAT, and so many more. But then I would have been here all night. So I hope you appreciated this episode, and I also hope you'll share it in your social media, like Facebook or Twitter, and just spread the good word about our webcast to other film music interested people. We'll be back with another episode eventually, and then we'll probably revert back to Norwegian again. But meanwhile, I thank you for listening, and see you soon.